You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 3rd of March. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Derek Janssen from Rensburg, cash build and Spur results, opposite end of the spectrums in some senses, although they kind of Spur, the market liked it, really liked it. Sean Saunders from RevX on how crypto can be regulated and what sort of regulations. And then Narina Fisser from ETFSA. I want to know, what is she buying in her tax-free account, and does she do lump sum versus monthly contributions? Yesterday's poll, we asked you about results season. It's in full swing. How do you rate results so far? 46% said better than expected. I've got to say, they are typically the updates and then results coming a bit later, and better than expected. 40% saying all right, considering, and 14% of you saying a little bit light. MoneyWeb Now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, MTI, Meritrade International, final liquidation postponed until May. They're hoping that the failed Bitcoin scheme can be saved. Not a chance, and I suspect those coins are well gone. Business Day, Lurch in Fuel Price unlikely to fire up inflation and hence interest rates. Viewers, I mean, petrol up, 65% up here in Gauteng today. Now, that's a big move. And we've seen Jan and Feb had moves upwards as well. They reckon it's not going to see interest rates higher. Our economy remains far too weak. Morning markets, US was red, S&P down 0.8, NASDAQ off 1.7%. Asia, green. We've got Sydney up 0.8 and Tokyo up 0.4. Commodities mixed, gold 17.33, Rand 14.96. Top 40 opening call, about 0.85% higher, or 550.4. Points to the green.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Derek Janssen from Rensburg, portfolio manager at Anchor Wealth. Derek, as always, appreciate your early morning time. The Spur results for the 6 months, I mean, very tough numbers. We get that. I mean, they struggle under the lockdown. But the market liked them. If we're looking forward to the second half of their financial year, and in fact, if we take it through to sort of calendar 2021, is there opportunity here? I worry about second or third waves, fourth waves, because we can see as soon as new waves come, alcohol bans, we see curfews, restrictions, suddenly people stop going out.
Yeah, morning, Simon. So I think an interesting number and interesting to see kind of how the market has digested it. I mean, obviously, you've got headline earnings per share down circa 75%. We knew results were going to be tough. We knew that we were going to see a very difficult sort of reporting environment on the back of the lockdown effect. Just taking a step back and just looking at Spur and the evolution of Spur over the last sort of 10 to 15 years, I think one certainly needs to accolade Spur and the management team in terms of how they looked to diversify their business and obviously look at different assets other than the sort of signature Spur brand that we know and can see today. Mm-hmm. Obviously with the lockdown effect, there was certainly stronger emphasis on things like food delivery, which talks to, call it, the Rock and Mama's type stable, mm-hmm. and those kind of businesses. So, certainly when you've got, dealing in the food space and the ability to have food delivery through the different conduits that we know of today, that certainly helped these businesses kind of get through a very tough economic environment. All that said, I mean, as you alluded to, it's all about the prospects and where we go now. I mean, just looking at the virus curve and kind of the numbers that we're seeing at the moment, we are seeing it come down quite sharply, and hopefully we do see the effect of vaccines as we move towards the end of the year and into the new year. So I get the sense that we're moving slowly back to some kind of normality, and there is some pent-up, call it consumer demand, that will probably take people out looking to you know, eat out, and obviously, as you mentioned, alcohol bans being lifted and things like that. So, you know, I think looking forward, it's, you know, a lot of the bad news is in the price. You might find that as we sit this time next year, they'll probably report a very stellar, strong number, and the market's probably going to perceive that. So, you know, I wouldn't write the company off. I think that it's dealing in a very difficult space at the moment, and I still would like to see some further fundamental support through, you know, the next set of numbers that come out. But certainly one to keep an eye on at this stage. And let's watch it.
Yeah, and I take your point very much. Spur of 10 years ago, I used to critique it because it was just Spur. It really has sort of morphed into a lot more brands, and that does put it in a different position. And you know, it's going to be a better but tough year, but maybe worth a look there. Quick one on Cashbuild, knocked it out the park. We've seen that. We've seen these DIY stocks doing incredibly well. Still value here?
Yeah, look, I mean, I must commend management for obviously delivering a great number here. You know, the quality of the results that you see coming out of Cashbuild is somewhat reminds me of a company like Clicks, where you just see, you know, continued sort of double-digit growth. I mean, obviously, in this case, it's a little bit stronger, but, you know, just such strong management. They're obviously adapted to the environment quite quickly. Had a strong focus on the cost base. And then obviously, you know, home improvement certainly being point and center at this stage, given the fact that working from home is obviously the new norm at this point in time. So, you know, looking forward, this is one that I actually think you need to bury in your portfolio and be patient with it. You know, obviously it's run quite hard in the short term, but I still think that, you know, this is a company that's now got strong cash flows. The balance sheet is extremely healthy. You know, it'd be interesting to see what they do and where they go from here. But, you know, distribution of income to shareholders is certainly point and center at this point in time. So if you've got it, I don't see any reason to sell it. You know, probably run a bit hard in the short term, but certainly one to keep in the bottom drawer of a portfolio, and has always continued to deliver over the years. Just looking back, you know, when coronavirus wasn't even an issue, you know, they've just certainly delivered on a year by year basis.
They have. Stellar management. Stock is up, what, 4x, 5x since the lows of last March, and yeah, absolutely top management. Derek Yatsa from Rensburg, portfolio manager, Anchor Wealth. So always appreciate your early mornings.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place? Offshore, while earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP. Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Sean Saunders. He is founder of Revex, and we'd want to talk around crypto regulation. I've touched on it ever so lightly, particularly suddenly we've got all sorts of companies, most notably Tesla, coming in with what, $1.5 billion into crypto, which I think really does bring it square and center into regulators' crosshairs, I suppose. Sean, regulation in the crypto space. I mean, you know, the hardcore folks from 10 years back in crypto will tell you, defeats the purpose. My sense is it's coming. What might we expect it to look like as regulators start to formulate around it?
Good morning, Simon. Thanks very much for having me. So the FCSA, the Financial Sector Conduct Authority in South Africa, has sort of published a white paper or a draft declaration that talks about crypto assets being deemed financial securities.
Yeah.
Now, this is quite an interesting sort of detour that South Africa generally likes to take relative to a lot of other more developed countries. If you look at the likes of Japan, if you look at Switzerland, if you look at Germany, you look at most European countries, none of them are proposing that cryptocurrencies should be deemed financial securities. Now, I think exactly what you said, right? I mean, crypto is not meant to be a financial instrument of sorts, right? It's a network. Bitcoin is not a common enterprise. It's not a company. There's no authority in charge most of the time. There's no management team. There's no CEO, no head office, no sales team. I mean, all of these things are sort of, you know, the regulations built for the sort of, you know, traditional business or the corporation or the security that exists, right? And now when you've got a decentralized network, the question is really just how do you regulate that? And in my opinion, I think you need to bring a crypto-specific regulation to the market. And if you look at all the developed markets that I've just mentioned, they've all brought a very crypto-specific regulation. So looking at the nuances of how exactly cryptocurrencies operate, how cryptocurrency players operate, and how can they facilitate that in the traditional financial sector while still being compliant with anti-money laundering rules, with cross-border remittance rules, and all the rest.
I take your point there because, yeah, to your, you know, financial securities is an old concept from, you know, hundreds of years ago, literally, and you know, way before we had the internet and the like. And equally, you know, it doesn't have a box it fits neatly into, and they can still regulate, because what you're talking about here, the regulation is not around the banning. It's not around saying, oh, you can't do it. It's around making sure that FICA is done, for example, know your customer, that it's not used for money laundering, in essence, to bring it into the more sort of formal structures rather than a Wild West, which is, you know, where it was sort of maybe even just 5 years ago in the days of Silk Road.
Exactly. And I think that's the big opportunity here, right? We at Revex, we've been sitting here for a long time saying, you know, we want regulators to step up in South Africa. We want them to bring regulation that innovates and, you know, brings more players into this industry. The security token movement that's taking place in Europe in particular is huge. I mean, there's no doubt that in, you know, 5 or 10 years' time, you aren't going to have sort of the clearing and settlement layers that we have today with banks and financial intermediaries. You will have blockchain-like structures that operate autonomously, right? I mean, autonomous finance is really the big story when it comes to the crypto space. I know I've thrown out a lot of jargon there, so apologies if, you know, that if it comes across that people are like, what are you talking about? But there's so much going on under the hood in crypto. I mean, you are looking at an asset class now that's sitting between $1.3 to $1.5 trillion, right? That's a couple times bigger than South Africa's economy. So this is too big to ignore really right now. And, you know, sure, it's a volatile asset class, but regulation really does need to foster that innovation. And I feel that the South African regulators sort of have taken a very lazy and lax approach. Instead of trying to bring something that's really innovative and, you know, really working with the companies, they've sort of just sat back and said, okay, great, we're going to put this into the financial securities box, which I don't think is the right way to handle this.
Yeah, we need a new box on that. Staggering stat, Bitcoin's bigger than South Africa. I don't know if that says something about us or something about Bitcoin, but I'd never thought of that. Sean Saunders, founder, Revex, appreciate the early morning time.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nerina Fisser. She is, of course, director at ETFSA. And Monday was an exciting day, 1st of March. It means that our annual tax-free limit resets. The minister did not change the limits in his budget speech of last week. So we sit at 36,000 per year per individual tax year. So March to Feb. And of course, lifetime limit, $500,000 remains. Nerina, morning. Appreciate your time. I think it's well known. I'm a simple chap. I go and buy my one ETF. I did it on Monday morning. It was great excitement. You take a more nuanced approach, proactive, passive. I mean, you're looking out your new allocation of tax-free money and thinking to yourself, where best, where do I want to perhaps top up in certain spaces rather than just, as I do, drop it into one?
Yes, indeed. Absolutely, Simon. So the main reasons I think why I do prefer the nuanced approach is I think it's quite unfortunate that we tend to use the term a tax-free savings account. That's the first problem that I have. I prefer a tax-free investment account because, of course, you can have your tax-free savings account at a bank where you only have a savings account and where you only earn interest, which means that you're going to be earning that interest tax-free. But in my book, that's really a bit of a waste of your tax-free allowance, because if we think of the 36,000 that we can invest in a year, the amount of interest we're going to earn on that really is quite paltry, quite measly. We already, as individuals, get 23,800 Rand per tax year of interest without having to pay tax on it. Mm-hmm. So using this allowance, only earning interest, is a bit of a waste. So I turn my attention to the two other major components of tax that we can save in a tax-free investment account, and that's dividend withholding tax and capital gains tax. Mm-hmm. Now, dividend withholding tax is something that you're going to be saving literally from the first dividend that you receive in your tax-free investment account. Yeah. If you hold that ETF in a regular, normal, discretionary account, 20% of every dividend that you receive will automatically be paid back to SARS. It's withheld. You never even see it. Whereas if you hold that exact same ETF in your tax-free investment account, you get the full dividend. So benefit starts from day one. And that's one of the main important reasons also why I love it when I hear people like you say, 1st of March, first thing I did, first thing in the morning was I invested my 36,000 that I've got available. The capital gains tax, of course, is the major component over the longer term. So there is a bit of a time horizon question to what ETF I should be putting into my tax-free investment account. Because if it is certainly for a longer term, as I believe it should be, your potential to save capital gains over the long capital gains tax over the long term is astounding. It really is quite profound. And so my main preference for investments inside my tax-free investment account is ETFs that are going to give me very good and strong capital gains over the long term, because that's where and how I'm going to be saving the most tax.
Yeah, and but I also like your point on dividends. I hadn't thought of that. I score from day one. The CGT I'm going to get in, you know, 40 years time, or I'll be very old by then. But I take your point. Those dividends kick from day one. But my next question then is, you know, is it lump sum or monthly? And let's assume that the listener's a lucky individual who's got that 36,000 on Monday. To my mind, the math says do the one off. And of course, if you're not going, but there's also the flip side, which is about sleeping well at night. But the math does say do it all at once.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for various reasons. That is the simple answer, the theoretical answer, the correct answer, but it's maybe not the one that fits the best in your stomach. So I tend to look then at what is the source of that money? Where is it coming from? Do I already have that 36,000 available? If not, then certainly a monthly contribution, a regular a recurring investment is great. It's a wonderful habit to have that regular investment. But should you already have that 36,000, then absolutely the best is to put it in as a lump sum. But this is where it gets quite interesting. What I quite like to do is, you might be looking at your budget, at your money in your bank account and say, well, Marina, I don't have that 36,000 available. But maybe you have a regular investment account where you already hold 36,000 rand of at least that of investments. And then I'm saying to you, well, you know what, that exact same ETF that you hold in your regular investment account, why don't you sell it out of the investment account and go and buy it in your tax-free investment account? Now you've not taken a view on, am I buying high or buying low or selling high or selling low? All I've done is I've bought and sold in the same level of the market. I've taken it out of an account where I don't have any tax protection or tax benefits, and I've just bought it into an account where I've got those benefits. So now I don't have to stress about, did I buy it at the wrong time? Did I buy it at the wrong level? I've just moved it to a more tax beneficial account. And then I can always continue to build up more assets inside my discretionary investment. And come next year, I can do the rest. Because bearing all the next phase, because bear in mind, if I'm going to be selling 36,000 rands worth of ETF investment out of my discretionary account, my regular account, there's no way I could have incurred 40,000 rand worth of capital gains tax or capital gains, sorry, in that discretionary account. Because that's the amount of capital gains that I can make every year, on which I also don't have to pay tax. So in this way, I'm ensuring that I'm doing this in completely a tax-neutral way, and I know I have my 36,000 sitting in my tax-free investment account, and I'm getting that full benefit from day one.
That is so deeply cunning. That is so deeply cunning. Switch your 36,000 and then put your monthly contribution, if you have it, and then put your monthly contributions in, because essentially it puts you, well, on the last contribution, it puts you a full 11 months ahead. And you think 11 months, but 11 months, you stack that over years. Nirina Fisser, ETFSA director. That's why we have you on, because that is the cunningest thing I've heard all year. I really appreciate your early morning. The show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 30. It's a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA is an authorized financial services provider, license number 50483. The question we're asking you today on our Twitter account, @MoneyWeb, if you are fortunate enough to have your full tax-free allocation of 36,000. Do you invest it all at once? Do you break it up into monthly considerations, 3,000 rand a month over the course of the year? Or perhaps you're someone who wishes you had yourself some 36,000. Go and check our Twitter account at MoneyWeb and you can vote there. That's it for today. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and app at 6:30 a.m. Podcast available from 7 a.m. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Cordora, and Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.